the all about transcendence and living forever and the secrets of the universe, and they want to know all this. Some are good, some are bad, some are a mix. But the good ones don't ever want to organize. The bad ones didn't want to organize because they lust after power. Powerful consciousnesses don't want to dominate other people. They want to empower them, so they don't tend to get together until things are really late in the game. Then they come together. Evil's always defeated because good is so much stronger. And we're on this planet, and Einstein's physics showed it, Max Planck's physics showed it, all of there's at least 12 dimensions. And now that's why all the top scientists and billionaires are coming out saying it's a false hologram. It is artificial. The computers are scanning it and finding tension points where it's artificially projected and gravity's bleeding in to this universe. That's what they call dark matter. So we're like a thought or a dream that's a wisp in some computer program, some God's mind, whatever. They're proving it all. It's all coming out. Now, there's like this sub-transmission zone below the third dimension. This just turned over to the most horrible things is what it resonates to. And it's trying to get up into the third dimension. That's just a basic level consciousness to launch into the next levels. And our species is already way up in the fifth, sixth dimension, consciously our best people. But there's this big war trying to, like, basically destroy humanity because humanity has free will, and there's a decision to which level we want to go to. We have free will, so evil's allowed to come and contend, not just good. And the elites themselves believe they're racing, using human technology to try to take our best minds and build some type of breakaway civilization where they're going to merge with machines, transcend, and break away from the failed species of this man, which is kind of like a false transmission because they're thinking what they are is ugly and bad, projecting it onto themselves instead of believing, no, it's a human test about building us up. And so Google was set up 18, 19 years ago. I knew about this before it was declassified. I'm just saying I've got sources that they wanted to build a giant artificial system. And Google believes that the first artificial intelligence will be a supercomputer based on the neuron activities of the hive mind of humanity with billions of people wired into it with the Internet of Things. And so all of our thoughts go into it, and we're actually building a computer that has real neurons in real time that's also psychically connected to us that are organic creatures so that they will have current prediction powers, future prediction powers, a true crystal ball. But the big secret is, once you have a crystal ball and know the future, you can add stimuli beforehand and make decisions that control the future. And so then it's the end of consciousness and free will for individuals, as we know, and a true 2.0 in a very bad way, hive mind consciousness with an AI jacked into everyone, knowing our hopes and dreams, delivering it to us, not in some PKD wirehead system where we plug in and give up on consciousness because of unlimited pleasure, but because we were already wired in and absorbed before we knew it by giving over our consciousness to the system by our daily decisions that it was able to manipulate and control into a larger system. There's now a human counterstrike taking place to shut this off before it gets fully into place and to block these systems and to try to have an actual debate about where humanity goes and cut off the pedophiles and psychic vampires that are in control of this AI system before humanity's destroyed.
Wait a minute, humanity is only in control of AI? How'd the pedophiles get in control of AI?
Well, the pedophiles at a whatever level, the devil, whatever you want to call it, this interdimensional thing that gives them advanced off-world technology, the fallen one that's not of this world, is giving them advanced knowledge.
What are you talking about?
Construct these systems that have already been used before on other populations.
What? That's Satan?
But what are you
that's
talking
Satan.
About?
Let's say,
but explain that. Something
that the stupid preacher tells you about, who's totally controlled, or something you read about on in the news or TV.
Right.
But this is an interdimensional force that wants to influence us to build something that absorbs us and kills us, rather than the divine free will we're given to build something much better that empowers the species. So the species is now making a decision about its entire future.
Where are you getting this from?
That's what it is.
But where are you getting it from?
I know. From looking at all the data, researching it, studying it, watching the enemy, that's the big decision that humanity has now got before us.
Folks, yesterday, Joe Rogan's official show account on X asked who he should have on. I think it's high time he has on Alex Jones again. That was all the way back in his first appearance with Joe Rogan. Still, maybe the most powerful five-minute clip of Alex Jones ever. I think my favorite part is at the very end. Joe Rogan is going, but how do you know this? And I'm just keeps going, that's just what it is. This is where the sky is blue. That's just what it is.
I'm cutting this on July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to take advantage of one of the biggest sales in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. If you buy any of our amazing supplements, the Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, all of the great products are there right now. Buy one already discounted, get the very same bottle, the very same product, absolutely free, but it's only running for 7 days. When you're a VIP for $30 a month, you get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special discounts, and more. That's how you take advantage of the buy one, get one free. This is only for VIP members, but anybody going to the store should be a VIP because you get $40 for subscribing for $30 a month. You make money on that, and you can cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot of crazy things happening around the world. Here's, I don't know, maybe the crew can find this. I haven't had time to research it yet, but I keep seeing people post this same story on X at Clash Report. Says gold dust discovered by villagers in Syria's Raqqa region after Euphrates River recedes. And I keep seeing Muslim people repost this and just say, I'm scared. This is very scary. So apparently, there's a very specific end of times hadith by the Prophet Muhammad about this exact event. Even if you aren't Muslim, this should be of interest to you. And I mean, I know there are prophecies and revelations about the Euphrates drying up. Apparently, there's some sort of Muslim prophecy about gold being found in the Euphrates. I'm not sure, but I keep seeing people post that exact picture. It's like all these Muslim accounts just posting that picture with just like, uh-oh, oh no. It's like, what? What is this supposed to mean? And also, is it true? I'm a little bit suspicious of it being true in the first place. How was it discovered that there was gold in the Euphrates? I'm suspicious that it happened, but it could just be, you go, gold dust Euphrates concept refers to a prophecy from Islamic tradition, specifically a saying attributed to Prophet Muhammad stating that the river Euphrates will dry up, revealing a mountain of gold. This event is described as a sign preceding the end of times, and the prophecy highlights the potential for conflict or greed that could arise from such a discovery. The prophecy, the saying indicates the drying up of the Euphrates will uncover a vast treasure of gold, leading to a dispute, to disputes and death among those who seek to possess it. Prophecy is understood as a minor sign of the end times, meant to serve as a warning about the dangers of greed and materialism. Interpretation: Islamic scholars interpret this prophecy to mean that people will be tempted by material wealth to the point of engaging in violence and conflict. Current situation: recent news reports of gold dust discovered in Syria after the Euphrates River receded have sparked renewed interest and discussions about this prophecy. You know, I personally am not buying it. I mean, literally all we have is this one like picture of a bunch of Muslims dudes in the mud. I don't even see any gold being found. But what this could mean is that somebody has an interest in making everybody think that end time prophecies are being fulfilled. And that is of interest. I got so many stories and videos to get to. I might just have to eschew any organization whatsoever and just start pounding through these, because there's some good news and there's some bad news. Here's some very good news. Here's some very exciting news for you. Some very well-deserved and important news. Senate confirms Trump's pick for counterterrorism agency, a former Green Beret. That's right. Friend of the show, Joe Kent, is the director of National Counterterrorism Center. The Senate confirmed him with a 52-44 vote, despite concerns about his associations with extremist groups and conspiracy theories. Hey, that's us. Hey, they're talking about us. We're the extremists. This is us, because we're friends with him. We're friends with Joe Kent. So this is awesome. Democrats opposed Kent's nomination, arguing he cannot be trusted with sense of intelligence due to his promotion of false claims about the 2020 election. Senator Tom Cotton praised Kent for his military service, highlighting his combat deployments and the loss of his wife in a terrorist attack. Kent plans to focus on targeting gang violence tied to migration during his tenure at the Counterterrorism Center. So that's right, folks. Info warrior, veteran, 2020 election truther, true patriot, and friend of the show, Joe Kent, is now director of the National Counterterrorism Center. Congratulations to Mr. Kent. And again, all jokes aside, he's exactly the right guy for the job. He did tours overseas. He's got his head screwed on straight. And he literally lost his wife to these terrorist scum. And then the, you know, powers that be tried to, you know, throw him in prison over 2020 election questioning. So if anybody in America is qualified and deserves the spot of National Counterterrorism Center Director, it's Joe Kent. So big congratulations to Mr. Joe Kent and all of us for actually putting good people in these positions. We just hope that he can handle what he's about to be under. Meanwhile, ICE entices new recruits with patriotism pitch and the promise of a $50,000 signing bonus. $50,000 signing bonuses. That's very tempting. $50,000 signing bonus? Are they in the NBA? Like, that's wild. Can I join the... Do they need a spokesperson by any chance? The U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is launching a recruiting campaign to attract new officers with a $50,000 signing bonus. ICE plans to hire 10,000 new staff to meet an annual deportation goal of 1 million. According to a report by Jason Hauser, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem encourages Americans to join ICE, stating, "Your country is calling you to serve at ICE." Jason Hauser warns staffing challenges could be exacerbated if requirements are waived, leading to higher turnover rates. So, hey, you know, there's a lot of people listening to my voice right now, a lot of young men that are very pessimistic about their future prospects of perhaps ever getting a job. Hell, if I was 25, I might be joining ICE. That sounds fun. That sounds extremely fun. $50,000 signing bonus. You get to carry a gun. And you just run around collecting Mexicans like Pokemon? Yes, please. Thank you. I'll take it. Got to catch them all. I'm built for this. I've trained all my life for this. Me and Pikachu deporting the rapists. That's awesome. So again, there's some good news out there. That was it. Those are the two pieces of good news. Now we got this big old stack of bad news, but there is good news out there. Things are happening, folks. A lot of bad things are happening. ADL-backed bipartisan bill threatens to censor Israel criticism on social media. That's from commondreams.org. Free speech advocates are raising concerns of the new bipartisan bill that would force social media companies to censor criticism of Israel on their platforms. It's, of course, the same bill we just covered, but... Again, it's just, it doesn't matter if you label it anti-Semitism or child safety or national security or health, right? That's the other one they are going with. Oh, you can't talk about vaccine side effects. You're going to damage everyone's health. Everyone's going to die if you're allowed free speech. It's a reason it's our First Amendment. It's a principle. Frankly, anybody supporting anything about this bill or anything similar to this bill. And of course it's bipartisan because of course it is. They should lose their office because they clearly don't actually believe in the fundamental American values that they're sworn to uphold. U.S. lawmakers push bill that could criminalize hate online. That's how ReclaimTheNet.org is putting this Stop Hate Act by the ADL. The proposed legislation would apply to platforms with at least 25 million unique monthly users in the United States. Although the full legislative text has not yet been made public, a press release outlining its provisions places heavy emphasis on the role of social media in amplifying content from designated terrorist groups, specifically foreign terrorist organizations, and specifically and specially designated global terrorist SDGTs. And again, it's, you know, it's not complicated to see how all of these things are being put into place, where first you get the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism put in place while you're simultaneously working on a bill to criminalize anti-Semitism. So by the time it's all said and done, by the time all of these various threads meet, you know, in a single point, you've got, you're decriminalizing anti-Semitism and you have it on the books that anti-Semitism is questioning Israel at all, questioning whether Israel should exist, questioning Israel's actions, claiming it's committing genocide, pointing out crimes committed by Jewish people or by Jewish interest groups. Basically, anybody saying anything negative about Big Fat Randy Fine or any other rabid Zionist genocidal maniac, you'll be removed from the internet. So all these different building blocks are being put into place for the obvious and ultimate intended goal of just silencing American speech when we're speaking up against absolutely anything that our government is doing. It'll be called anti-Semitism because almost guaranteed there will be a Jew somewhere. There will be a Jew somewhere involved in the American government. So, sorry, can't talk about it in a negative fashion. You can't, you know, insinuate or insist or even notice that the actual actions of some of these groups align perfectly with the most far-fetched conspiracy theories and anti-Semitic tropes. And as we've said a million times, that is the definition of hate speech. Hate speech is when reality matches the stereotype. In other words, it's not hate speech for me to say, black people control America or whatever, or to say, you know, Jews steal bicycles. It's like, what? That's not a trope. That's not a stereotype. So it's fine. But if the stereotype is, you know, Jews will use their collective influence to silence, you know, non-Jews talking about them, and that actually happens, if you point it out, that's hate speech. Because reality corresponds with the stereotype. Therefore, talking about reality is you perpetuating a stereotype. And that's very annoying. There's not a lot we can do about it other than ignore their ridiculous demands for silence and continue to talk about the things that people are doing, because people are doing evil things and we have to talk about it if we want it to stop. So silence is complicity in this matter. Congress is gridlocked over censorship bills to suppress, quote, anti-Semitism. Yeah, it's not about anti-Semitism. It's about the freedom of religion in this country and your right to have your own religious beliefs that contradict or even seem like hate to people not of your religious group. That is your absolute right. And if you feel strongly that as an American, you have a right to hold your own religious beliefs, to pray in the way that you see fit, to join a church that corresponds with your religion, to gather in religious ceremonies, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, pagan, atheist, it doesn't matter. If you care about that right, you should, in fact, you almost have to care just as much about the ability of people to criticize those very same groups, organizations, ceremonies, beliefs, et cetera, et cetera. This isn't complicated. This isn't nuanced. It's just how it is. Everybody can see it for everybody else. When it comes to Jews, for some reason, everybody gets scared. Everybody gets scared of saying what everybody else knows is true. You have to stop being scared. Part of the fright, I think, comes from people, you know, genuinely accepting the contention that to be against Israel or to be against the ADL means that you hate Jews, and people aren't hateful and don't want to be hateful and really feel bad if they think that even unintentionally they've done something wrong to other people. And so it's not necessarily cowardice in terms of like, or being scared of like, oh, the Jews are going to hurt me if I talk about them. But it's like people actually just want to be good people, and they have been tricked into conflating criticism of government policy with hatred of a group of people. So you have to get over that, and you have to understand it's okay. It is not just possible. It's actually, you know, there's nothing contradictory about loving Jews, loving the Jewish people, having no ill will or hard feeling against people who've done nothing wrong, people who have different beliefs or different ethnic background to you. I don't hate them. I don't even dislike them. I love them. And they need to keep their hands off the First Amendment. There's nothing contradictory about this. There's nothing hateful about pointing out the ADL, Israel, AIPAC, when they do bad things, you point it out, you call it out, you criticize it, because you don't want Jews to pay the price for what these radical, cultish, ethno-supremacists are involved in. Stop being scared. Stop falling for it. Stop believing that criticism is hate. Stop believing that complicity or submission to these gangsters' threats, blackmail, and demands makes you a good person. It doesn't. Here we have a headline from GB News that is classic Western liberalism in a nutshell. It says, perhaps everything you would ever need to know about what's happening in our world, the downfall of Western civilization, it's all here in just a few simple words. Like if you had somebody in a coma, woke up after 30 years, said, what's going on in the world? This headline, I think, would kill them. I think they would die if you went asleep 30 years ago and woke up to this. King Charles praised for hosting Ramadan meal and LGBTQ plus lecture at Windsor Castle. Yeah, that's right, folks. He's being praised for hosting a Ramadan meal and an LGBTQ plus lecture at Windsor Castle. There's something about this. There's something about the continuing existence of a king in the first place, who you would think his only position would be to not undercut and sell out his own country from underneath his people. But that is what he's doing. And there's something, there's always something particularly interesting to me about the way the left both simultaneously virtue signals and, you know, always acts like they're these radical, anti-elite, eat-the-rich type people who also just revel in the most, you know, glamorous, outlandish displays of wealth and worshiping celebrities and worshiping the rich and all this sort of stuff. There's something just particularly, you know, hypocritical and typical about it. But it's like, and it really is ubiquitous. But I wonder, like, what goes on in liberals' brains? Like, why do they love things that are so contrary to their, you know, most deep held beliefs? I don't really get it. Like liberals love coming to Texas to make movies using the Texas aesthetic, using the Texas vibe and the what's been created here as a vessel for their own completely absurd, ridiculous ideas, their ideology, their belief system that is just completely at odds with and contradictory to the conservative Christian European mindset that built the aesthetic that they're co-opting. They love the royal aesthetic. They love the Western aesthetic. It's just their beliefs are like the basis of their beliefs are rejecting these things entirely. And it's very absurd. But of course, the absurdity of posting both a Muslim holiday and a gay pride parade in the same place, and the literal head of the Church of England, the King of England, holding a Ramadan festival in his ancestral home. You know, it's just, I mean, is he a Muslim? I know there have been rumors about that, Like, that would explain a hell of a lot. Like, it seems absurd. It seems like one of these, you know, one of the conspiracies from, like, the early 2000s, where, you know, anti-Muslim sentiment was at its highest ebb in America. It's like, the King of England, he's a dirty Muslim. It's like, what? The King of England, really? And then you look at it and you're like, yeah, but is he, though? If he's not, why is he celebrating Ramadan? I don't celebrate Ramadan because I'm not a Muslim. He does celebrate Ramadan. Maybe he's a Muslim. I don't think that's that big of a stretch, actually. At Buckingham Palace, the King's Gallery hosted its inaugural event for LGBTQ plus History Month in October, exploring some of the queer figures represented within the royal collection. Yeah. So that is happening. King Charles praised for hosting Ramadan and LGBTQ plus organization at Windsor Castle. I don't want to make this all about Israel, but it is to the point where, according to the New York Times, they're creating a humanitarian disaster that can literally be seen from space. A world of misery from 200 miles up is the headline from New York Times. Even from orbit, the signs of anguish and desperation were visible. On Saturday, a satellite passing over the Gaza Strip captured an image of hundreds of people converging on a convoy of aid trucks as they threaded through mounds of rubble in the southern part of the territory. It was not the first time since the war broke out in 2023 between Israel and Hamas militants that trucks bearing desperately needed humanitarian aid were besieged before they reached their destination. You can see the image here. You can literally see the crowds of hungry people clamoring for a bit of food. You can see the crowds from space. They're so large. And of course, we have more videos that I could go to of Israelis shooting at the starving people gathered for food as people on X continue to tell me that it's not happening. Which is like, guys, it's just, you gotta stop. You gotta stop acting like we all can't see what's going on here. It's just, it's not working. It's offensive. And it's like, as much as you might get your emotions riled up hearing about starving children, I don't know, personally for me, you see things about starving children, it's tragic, it's horrific, it just makes you feel like crap that, you know, there's nothing you could do about it. But then when somebody comes along and goes, Israel's not starving anyone, dummy, then that sadness, that depression, that malaise is transformed. It's weaponized into pure, white hot, hateful rage at you people. So just, you got to stop lying. You got to stop lying about this. If you feel like it's so necessary for you to lie, then you should stop doing the thing that you have to lie about, but you got to stop lying about it. Starving babies to death is one thing. To lie about it, you're really just pushing our buttons. We're going to be back on the other side with more just insane stories in the last 24 hours. I do want to remind you to go now to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com, and take advantage of the buy one, get one super sales. That's still going on? I would have thought this was over. I didn't think this would have lasted as long as it has, but it is going on still. Get it while you can. Buy one, get one super sale. Buy one, get one free on all supplements and apparel. You just got to be a VIP member. That means you pay $30 for a VIP membership. You get $40 in-store credit. You double that with the buy one, get one. You're basically getting $80 worth of product for $30 if you're a VIP member. That's a deal.
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone who wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you asked me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. Infowars.com, band.video. Please do share those links. Of course, make sure to follow us on X. Share us on X as well. It's literally the least you could do. It's completely free and very easy and extremely helpful. Click that share button. Of course, you want to share band.video links. You click the share button there, and it gives you a disguised link, since still to this day, band.video is, ironically, banned. Links to band.video are banned on X. Although, I may have seen somebody post a band.video. That may have changed, but we still give you the disguised link, so you can make sure you can post it on Facebook or X or wherever else you spread information and reason. We'll get into some of these other stories, but just about 30 minutes ago, Marjorie Taylor Greene just sort of went off on Israel. Again, I really don't go out of my way to find stuff about Israel. It's just this is obviously the main issue that connects so many of the topics that we cover on a daily basis. And like even without trying it, half of my videos are about Israel, half the stories are about Israel, half the statements made about, you know, politicians. And again, I wish it wasn't the case, but then it's like Trump comes out and is like, oh, if Canada wants to deal with tariffs, they're not allowed to recognize Palestine. Great. Great. As a village crazy lady Mel said. So I guess we're going to have to pay a little bit more for, you know, basic necessities. You'll have to, you know, dish out a little bit extra for your groceries each month because Canada is doing something that Israel doesn't like. So now America has to pay for it. Great. That's great. So Marjorie Taylor Greene posted this morning at around 9 a.m. She said, yesterday I spoke to a Christian pastor from Gaza. There are children starving and Christians have been killed and injured as well as many innocent people. If you're an American Christian, this should be absolutely unacceptable to you. Just as we said that Hamas is killing and kidnapping innocent people on October 7th is absolutely unacceptable. Are innocent Israeli lives more valuable than innocent Palestinian and Christian lives? Well, depends on who you're asking. And why should Israel, and why should America continue funding this? The secular government of nuclear-armed Israel has proven they are beyond capable of dealing with their enemies and are capable of and are in the process of systematically cleansing them from the land. Most Americans that I know don't hate Israel, and we're not anti-Semitic at all. We are beyond fed up with being told that we have to fix the world's problems, pay for the world's problems, and fight all the world's wars while Americans are struggling to survive even though they work every day. And many of us, even though we're Christian, no longer want to fund and fight nuclear-armed secular Israel's wars, especially when it leads to starving children and killing innocent people, including Christians. Of course, we're against radical Islamic terrorists, but we're also against genocide. You see, when you've worked your entire life and will only receive a $1,000 Social Security check, but non-citizens were given $3,500 and more, you're pissed off. When you've worked your entire life and all your elected federal officials have recklessly spent and sent your hard-earned money to every foreign country and every foreign war and NGO to the point where we are almost $40 trillion in debt and inflation has caused life to be unaffordable, you're pissed off. And when you've worked your entire life and your elected federal government official refuses to fix the absurd problems that makes all insurance unaffordable, you're pissed off. And for the younger generations who are trying their hardest to make it in this ridiculous system, they feel hopeless. And that makes me burn with anger. None of this is anti-Semitic, and I, along with millions of Americans, refuse that manipulative label. It's the consequences of decades of America last policies, nonstop foreign intervention, and the American people clearly seeing the truth and suffering. Here's where I stand. No American should face persecution of any kind because of their identity. Not Jewish Americans, not Muslim Americans, not Christian Americans, not white, black, Asian, Hispanic, mixed Americans, and on and on. We've already have hate crime laws against that, and that's not who we are in America. And we have and should continue to work hard to not allow ourselves to become that. My position is this. As a U.S. representative, I represent the American people. My full focus is on fixing America's problems. And right now, the problems in America are threatening my children's future. I consider that a war against my children. Every single person, no matter who they are, that continues to enslave my children in debt, continues policies that make their lives unaffordable, and prioritizes foreign countries and foreign wars above my children's lives and livelihoods, I see as an enemy waging the war against my children and their generation. I will continue to push for world peace because that's the type of world I want for my children and all the world's children. I want America to put American companies and American jobs first and protect American land and American homes from foreign consumption. Most importantly, I demand the federal government serve the American people who pay your salaries. September 30th brings another annual government funding deadline. I sincerely hope Republicans out on August recess right now will return in September with a renewed focus to stop funding foreign wars, stop waging the fiscal war against my children and their entire generation. Wow. Another anti-Semitic diatribe from Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's just horrible. All of this hate. All this anti-Semitic hate. It's just tragic. I don't know how you could disagree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. And really the only people who would have a problem with what Marjorie Taylor Greene said is people who just hate white people and want us destroyed. Hate Christians. Want Christians destroyed. Actually do fulfill and in their own mind see themselves as exactly what Marjorie Taylor Greene just said. Enemies at war with us. Green calls Gaza crisis a genocide, hinting at rift on the right over Israel. Apparently, according to some reports, Trump just told some of his Jewish supporters, Trump said, my supporters are starting to hate Israel. Everybody is. No, everybody is. So again, if this was a Hispanic person, hell, if Marjorie Taylor Greene was a Jewish person saying this, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Most people wouldn't have a problem with it. And you know, it really is as simple as, like, what if it was the other way around? And if you just put yourself in the mindset, like, think about the type of person, like, if you as a white person hear a Hispanic person say, hey, I want what's best for my people, and I'm here as a representative of Mexico, you know, if you're in Mexico, a Mexican government politician saying, I'm here to represent Mexico, and I'm sick of Mexico bending the knee for America, and we shouldn't do America's bidding, we should do Mexico's bidding, and we shouldn't be giving all this money to America, whatever it is. Like, imagine the type of person that would hear that and start seething and go, with this absolute scum, how dare they? Because that really is the response to what Marjorie Taylor Greene just said. There are people seething, there are people furious at this. Just think about the type of person that would have that response. And clearly, it can only come from a place of hatred, vengeance, and a desire to see the eradication of people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. There'd be no reason to disagree with her otherwise. So very powerful stuff from Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's proving to be a very brave and based representative, which we have very, very, very few. Although Jim Jordan is also showing he's got some backbone here. The UK censorship files part 2, he published this on the 29th, 2 days ago. UK government tried to censor criticism of itself and debate about immigration during large-scale riots in August 2024. As UK citizens become increasingly frustrated by a system weaponized against them, UK authorities wanted big tech to censor discussions about immigration and, quote, narratives about the police and two-tier systems. So he actually publishes an email between, I believe this is TikTok and somebody in the UK government, where they very explicitly say they want comments about the police and two-tier judgment systems to be eliminated. In recent years, the UK citizens have become increasingly fed up with a double standard in the UK. Mean tweets get you a longer prison sentence than many violent offenses. He publishes this: Europe's crackdown on speech goes far and wide. Loosely defined hate speech laws and the rise of social media have led to zealous policing. Connolly received a 31-month prison sentence for posting material intended to stir up racial hatred. Her appeal was rejected. Her sentence was longer than many of the rioters themselves. Sentenced for criminal damage, such as smashing up cars, Lucy got more time in jail for one tweet than some pedophiles and domestic abusers get, said her husband, Ray Connolly. 31 months in prison over a tweet, when we have stories of literal murderers being let out in 6 months in the UK. 31 months for a tweet. 6 months for murdering an 11-year-old with a machete. That is law and order in the UK right now. Britons were rightly concerned about a justice system that treated government critics more harshly than violent criminals. Right of center leaders in the UK weren't justified in criticizing this two-tier system of justice. Right of center leaders were justified in criticizing this two-tier system of justice. So what did Prime Minister Keir Starmer and Technology Secretary Peter Kyle do? New documents produced to the committee show that they tried to censor people who called out the UK's two-tier justice system for what it was. In an email to Big Tech, one of UK's tech regulators, known as DSIT, told platforms to monitor, quote, narratives about a two-tier system. Since then, DSIT directed platforms to come back to us on any measures you've taken in response. The implications are clear. The UK was telling platforms to censor narratives about a two-tier justice system while, of course, implementing that very two-tier justice system. That's right. The British government was trying to censor criticism of itself during the largest British riots in over a decade in August 2024, the oldest trick in the censorship playbook. But the UK government didn't stop there. They also tried to censor public debate about immigration and asylum policy during this period of heightened public debate. One British citizen wanted to know where the government was housing asylum seekers on UK taxpayer dimes. So he filed a Freedom of Information Act request. The British government denied that request. Then when he posted online about the denial, the British government told platforms to censor him. So he asks about the immigration policy. They deny his request for information. He goes online and said they denied me the request for information, and they get big tech to censor that information. The censorship of the censorship. And it just goes on and on. The UK government also wanted to silence discussion about about Europe's mass migration policies. One popular account noted that certain parts of England now look like another country. UK authorities sent the post to platforms as an example of, quote, concerning content that they should censor. So it's Radio Genoa just saying it looks like it's Islamabad, but it's Manchester, showing a giant crowd in Manchester of nothing but Muslim men. Hey, this looks like Islamabad. And the UK government sends that tweet out to big tech saying, this is the example of the type of stuff we don't want we don't want people talking about. Not hate. Not false. No reasonable justification for limitation of the content, let alone censorship. But they want it removed entirely. Why? Because it shows the effects of the policies they've adopted. That's it. Why would they want to hide the effects of the policies they've adopted? Because the effects of the policies that they constantly adopt are constantly horrific and terrible and bad. And if people knew, they wouldn't support them. And again, all this is obvious, but I do feel like I need to like walk people through this because, again, the obvious question is, why would they want to continue policies that were bad? Why does anybody cover up anything? Because they want it to continue. It's just so obvious, so outrageous, in such flagrant contradiction to all of the protestations of democracy and the will of the people, the betterment of society. They knowingly adopt policies that make your life worse, that make your safety lessened, that make your national security lessened, make your national prosperity lessened. On purpose, by design. If that wasn't the purpose of the design, they wouldn't do it. The purpose of the system is what it does. They know that people wouldn't be in favor of what they're doing. They know that what they're doing hurts their own people, but they're desperate for that to continue. And they're willing to censor people to hide the consequences of their actions, to guarantee those actions continue. Why are they so desperate to continue to hurt the British people? Because there is absolutely no other reason. You know, you can find examples, and they do, of the most outrageous things being said online, and they can point to that, and they can put forward a convincing argument that they're genuinely against hate. Right? If they show you a tweet of some guy just saying, you know, F all Pakis, all Muslims deserve a brick to the head. And I can see them pointing to that and going, we can't have this. Again, I think you should be able to say anything. Like, we use a little bit more of that type of language in the UK if they want to continue existing, if they care about survival. They should be a little bit more brazen about their opposition. They should take a note from Carl Benjamin. Talking about deporting them off the cliffs of Dover. I think that is the type of language you need at this point. So, again, I'm not actually justifying this statement, but I'm at least trying to illustrate that the most far-fetched, sort of thin excuse for controlling speech does not even apply here. If this was a tweet saying Manchester looks like Islamabad and we should kill them, okay, then you can point to that and go, hey, you know, you need to censor this type of stuff because we can't even be having people calling for violence. Or just, you know, you've got people that maybe are from some war-torn country and you can go, look, these guys are refugees. They're just trying to survive. And you got all these people spewing hate at them and demonizing them. You could at least make the argument, even though it's fallacious, even though it's ridiculous, even though it doesn't stand up to scrutiny. The point I'm making is they're not even making that argument. They're not even showing violent tweets or offensive tweets. They're literally sending tweets out of just raw, uncut, unedited, no commentary, just footage of a Manchester street they are trying to censor. So there's just absolutely no excuse. There's no, oh, this is offensive. Well, it's calling for violence. Well, it's demonizing this type of people. It's literally just a video of a street of Manchester saying it looks like Islamabad. Is that a bad thing? I mean, I don't know. You know, what are they saying? That it's somehow offensive to compare something to Islamabad? Would it be offensive if you said it looks like Tokyo, looks like New York City? Why would it be offensive to say somewhere looks like a city in Pakistan? You can't frame that as offensive. You can't frame that as violent or right-wing, hateful rhetoric. You just can't. I'm just trying to emphasize how far this has gotten and how desperate they are to cover up all of the consequences of their actions. They're literally demanding big tech take down raw, uncut, factual video of a street in Manchester because the demographic replacement is the point. And if people knew that they were being genocided in their own country and replaced with foreigners, they understood the true scale of this, they would never stand for it. And let's stick to this for a second. I got some videos. I got some videos to go to. Let's go to clip number 15 here. This is a woman named Samantha Smith. Maybe a distant relation of me. I don't know, but she looks like my sister. It's kind of crazy. Samantha Smith, I went on TV to discuss Pakistani grooming gangs in my labor-run hometown of Telford, and she was censored, talking about her own experience being the victim of a rape gang, was censored ostensibly under the Online Safety Act, whose purpose is to protect women and children from abuse. Wrap your mind around this one. Let's go to clip number 15 here.
I was on your show last Monday, same time practically. I came off, there was a fantastic response from the public. I was really, really, my heart was warmed by the support and you know, outreach that I received from those that either didn't know what had been going on in Telford for decades. You know, up to 1,000 girls had been reported to have been abused as by grooming gangs since the 1980s, or those that had no idea that it could potentially still be going on and the scale of police, council and social services failings. I went back home, I went back to Telford, and the next day around lunchtime, two police officers banged on my door demanding that I speak to them about my interview.
Really?
Mm.
So the police who have done nothing for the entire third millennium to date suddenly were roused to activity by you going on television.
Yeah, they told me that they had gone round to all of the addresses they had on file for me. They had gone to my previous home addresses, the different accommodations that I'd stayed at, looking for me. And eventually they located me, you know, they hunted me down, they tracked me, banged on my door, you know, not too different to when they're knocking on the door of a perpetrator, of a potential criminal. I was on FaceTime to my friend at the time, who said to me afterwards, I genuinely thought you were going to get arrested from the way that they were talking to you. They told me that, quote unquote, when you go on GB News and talk about grooming gangs in Telford, it's our duty to follow up with you.
That's not actually true, is it?
No.
So the police are, among other things, lying to you.
It's funny, I said to them at the time, it was funny that they did absolutely nothing to bring my accusers to justice, but when I went on national TV, and talked about the industrial scale of their failings and their inaction in bringing to justice the perpetrators of vile rape, grooming, sexual assault and child sex crimes in Telford, that they are suddenly spurred into action to come and knock on my door and intimidate me into silence.
It's pretty pathetic, these big butch coppers being so insecure that you going on TV and criticizing them can drive them into action that they otherwise haven't taken for decades. Do you know who actually ordered up this I guess raid is the word for it.
I have absolutely no idea. I know that it was two police officers from the CSE team that knocked on my door. They said they had been working for the force for a year and 6 months respectively, and they were quote unquote trying to make a difference. I don't know what difference they were making by going after a victim rather than the perpetrators, those that have been systematically raping, abusing, grooming, and passing girls round, like, you know, like
for
decades.
I was abused for a decade and then made to feel it was my fault. And she goes on GB News and gives an interview about her experience, only to have the police show up the next day and threaten to arrest her for speaking out against the abuse that she suffered under. Robert Lowe, MP from the UK, a testimony received by rape gang survivor to our inquiry has been censored. Disgraceful. So this person tried to post the testimony by the rape gang survivor. The official court records, Sammy Woodhouse at Official Sammy UK, tried to post that, and it was blocked with this label, age-restricted graphic content. This content might not be appropriate for everybody. To view this media, you'll need to add your birthday to your profile. X also adds your age, uses your age to show more relevant content, including ads, as explained in our privacy policy. So they are, again, just, it could not be more absurd to pass a law claiming that you're protecting children, and then the law actually being used to censor court testimony about children being abused. Being raped so often and so forcibly that your womb and cervix had to be cauterized in order to save your life was her experience. And this is what was censored, I guess. Fizzy juice bottles filled with boiling water out of a kettle inserted inside you and shaken in order to inflict the maximum pain, degradation, and lifelong injuries. Facial and dental reconstruction required after being violently kicked in the face when you were incapable of completing that 20th sex act of the night because they had forcibly poured just too much alcohol down your throat that day. Being abused so often, so forcibly, your womb and cervix had to be cauterized in order to save your life. That was the testimony that was censored. And that's the tragedy that is continuing at a pace by design as a consequence of the deliberate policy of the powers that be. Police officers also abused Rotherham grooming gang victims. This has been a headline for a while. What we're learning now, and it might not surprise you, is that all of the police were also of Pakistani heritage. So these little girls, even if they were brave enough or whatever to go to the police are in the grooming gangs and raped them more. And the orphanages were in on it. And the prince was in on it. Yeah, they're all in on it.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease. And you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue. And that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans, and we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP. And it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle. And it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby. Oh, my God.